Father God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the work of compassion. We pray for a blessing on Warren and their incredible ministry. We pray, God, that you'll continue to stretch out their tent pegs and that many lives will be impacted around the world through the wonderful work of compassion. Bless them, we pray. And Father, as we open your word, we ask that you'll speak to us today. God, may we be like a sponge to receive what you have for us. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see. Soften our hearts to receive from you, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. And I just want to acknowledge everyone watching on Facebook as well. Please make a comment, tell us where you're watching from, and put in the comments all the Bible verses that we're sharing today. The first verse we're going to look at is Romans 1:16, if you want to get your Bibles ready for that. And also just wanted to just really honour Ahmed. I got him up and had that prophetic word for him. He's bringing me some water too. What a great man of God. And you know what? This message is called Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And who's really felt a real move of the Holy Spirit here in the last couple of weeks? We've had prophetic words. We've had altar calls, repentance. The Lord's really moving on people's hearts. And, you know, I really believe actions speak louder than words when it comes to revival as well. Like, we don't just want a revival where we're all fired up and yah, rah, rah, rah on Sunday. We want revival to mean we live a different life on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. And, you know, I see Ahmed, you know, as a great example of revival. A guy that was just a painter. He was just a painter, just working as a painter, you know. And he was helping, volunteering at church, you know. But he said, you know what, I've got to do something. Because he used to come and help on Fridays at our soup kitchen, but he works on a Friday and couldn't do it. And he goes, I've got to do something. Because actions speak louder than words, don't they? Who knows? We've got to do something. This is the fruit of revival. Not just getting all fired up on a Sunday, but going out and doing something on a Monday or a Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. He started it last week, and I just feel like a proud dad. I'm just like, yes, my young gun is out there doing it. And I rang Pete Watson. He goes, he was the best night, Matt. Because it's interesting, because our charity, our soup kitchen, we go to 28 homeless shelters, where there are people that are homeless, and people are in and out of prison, in and out of mental health wards, in and out of the streets, whatever, you know. But they've got temporary accommodation in their homeless shelters, but they're still classed as homeless, you know. But I love the fact that these guys are going to people living under bridges, people sleeping on benches, people sleeping in Roma Street Park, you know, people who don't have any roof over their head, still classed as homeless, but, you know. And I just love the fact, and it's been prophesied over this church, that God is going to stretch out our tent pegs, enlarge our territory, increase our influence in this city. And so I just wanted to explain, this is really what my message is about today. I don't really have to preach if you don't want me to. Just look over there. That's revival, you know. That's a guy who was just living his life, painting houses, doing his thing, and God said to him, no, go and do something. He's been revived. Amen? And we need to pray that he stays revived. Amen? Because that's the thing. You can defibrillate yourself and you know, it can be good for a moment, but you've got to stay alive, amen? You've got to stay revived. We want to walk in a culture of revival. We've been having a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit recently, and there's a fresh desire for repentance. We've seen a number of people healed and released in the prophetic, but I believe that God isn't finished with us yet. God is just starting something new in us here in this place. Lee Robertson said, revival begins in the individual's heart. You'll see this on your screen in a moment. Let it begin with you on your face alone before God. Turn from every sin that might hinder and renew yourself to a new devotion of the Savior. Remember last year I preached a series called The Secrets of the Secret Place. Revival is, it's great when it breaks out in a building like this and people are prophesying, there's a move of God in church, but it's got to start every, we've got to revive ourselves every day, amen? Start the day in God's Word. Start the day in the secret place. Find yourself confessing your sins to God. I love what Glenn shared before in communion. You've got to ask God, have I got idols in my life? Is there areas where I'm breaking the Ten Commandments or any of the commandments in the Old Testament? Is there areas where I'm going against God's, you know, golden rules, love your neighbor as yourself, forgive your enemy. Is there areas that I've got unforgiveness in my heart? asking God every day to forgive us of our sins. It's great to do it on a Sunday, but we've got to do it every day. Do business with God every day in the secret place. Revive yourself every day. Andrew Murray said this, "The coming revival must begin with a great revival of prayer. It is in the closet, with the door shut, that the sound of abundance of rain will first be heard. An increase of secret prayer with ministers will be sure the harbinger of blessing." Amen? How many of you know we're all ministers here? Amen? We're all ministers of the gospel. We've got to get in that secret place and have a revival of prayer. There was a Rwandan man in 1980 who was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. What would you do in that situation? He refused to renounce Christ and he was killed on the spot. The night before he had written, the night before he was killed, he wrote a famous piece of writing called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. It was found in his room. And he quoted from the Bible verse, Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe." Anybody here believe in Jesus? Well, let's not be ashamed of the gospel, amen? Let's let our light shine brighter than ever before. This is what this godly Rwandan man said the night before he was killed for his faith. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. He said, "I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision's been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished. I'm done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, and colorless dreams. I'm done with chintzy giving and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence. I lean by faith. I love by patience. I lift by prayer, and I labor by power. My pace is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought. I won't be compromised. I won't be deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me because my colors will be clear." Isn't that good news? Who wants that same fire in their belly? The Fellowship of the Unashamed. That's what I hope people say about New Hope Church. Those guys at New Hope, they are unashamed of the gospel. They will go anywhere. They'll go on the streets on a Tuesday night till midnight. They'll go out into the shelters. They'll go over to the Philippines or to Thailand or to wherever God calls them. They'll go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. You know, I loved seeing those pictures of Compassion Today around the world. I used to travel a long time ago. Remember these things called planes you used to go on, you know? I miss that so much. And right now it's difficult to travel the world because of all sorts of reasons, but we can go there with our finances right now, can't we? We can go there with our prayers right now, can't we? We can partner with people that are taking the gospel to the world. We're going to have the fellowship of the unashamed. And you know what? I had a sense that some people today might be feeling like they're crushed a little bit. And I've got this bottle of water here that's kind of half empty or half full, depending if you're a pessimist or an optimist, you know. But you know, I heard a pastor recently say that, you know, when a submarine goes down, you know, 1,500 below, it can be squashed because the pressure just makes it implode and everyone inside dies, you know. But they built this strong, you know, it's built quite strong, you know. And you know what? When it's filled up, it's strong enough and it won't implode when the submarine's under the water. And you know that Bible verse that says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Some of you today might feel like you're being crushed by the pressures of the world, crushed by the enemy, crushed. I'm here to tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this one's full, let's use this one. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't do any good, does it? Let's see if the lid pops off. No. We've got to be filled with God's Holy Spirit every day, amen? We've got to be washed in the water of the Word. Should I take the lid off? Should I baptize myself this morning? I've already done it before, it's okay. No matter what pressures are against you, you need to be filled. But the problem is every day we leak, don't we? I could pour it out, couldn't I? We leak. That's why every day we've got to get in that secret place. Every day we've got to get in the presence of God and get filled up every time so that no matter what pressure comes against us, we can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And then our actions will speak louder than words, whatever we do every day. We won't just talk the talk of following Jesus, we'll walk the walk, amen, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. John 14:15, you'll see it on your screen. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. The greatest demonstration for your love for Jesus is if you obey. More than any words that can ever come out of your mouth, the proof of your love for Christ is in your obedience. Jesus' words are true. And that means the opposite of is true as well. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love Jesus. It's not enough to know what he says. You have to do what he says. When you do, you'll show how much you truly love God. Let's look at James 1, verse 22 to 25. I love the book. Who loves the book of James? One of my favorite books in the Bible. It's known as the book of Proverbs for the New Testament, the book of wisdom in the New Testament. It's very practical. Did you know Martin Luther, the great reformer, didn't like the book of James, and he thought it should have been taken out of the canon of Scripture? It's a controversial book. It's only 5 chapters. I encourage. Actually, this is your homework, everyone. I want you to read the book of James this week. Let's do a quick altar call. Who's going to do that this week? I see that hand. That was a good altar call. We should do them. I encourage you to read it. It'll change your life. We actually had a youth camp last year with Scotty Loveday. Where's Scotty? We took the youth away, had a great time, and we went through the book of James with the kids over 2 or 3 days, and it changed their lives because there's some good practical stuff in it, but there's some convicting stuff in it as well. James said this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everyone say, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says, it like someone who looks at their face in a mirror. After looking at themselves, goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. It's a bit silly, isn't it? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, everyone say doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Who wants to be blessed? Don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. Your actions speak louder than words. Your actions have the ability to confirm what God is doing in you. Such as when you respond with patience where you used to fly off the handle. Who's got a temper here? How many of you know patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit? When you're a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word, you respond with patience and you don't lose it. You take a chill pill, you calm your farm. Amen? When you exercise self-control over a habit or a sin that's been nagging you for years, you're a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Amen? You know, I use that naughty word in church, the S word, sin. Is that okay? A lot of churches these days won't talk about sin. They talk about grace and love and joy. And we talk about that too, don't we? But a lot of churches these days are too scared to talk about sin and judgment and the wrath of God and the fact that you will go to hell if you don't give your life to Jesus and repent from your sins. You won't hear that in some churches these days. I believe we're in the last of the last days and there is a great falling away, a great apostasy. Many churches just preach all the nice, warm, fluffy sermons, but you'll never hear the S word in churches anymore. Sin. My Bible tells me all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You can't climb some ladder and be good enough to get to heaven because you're a sinner. And I'm a sinner. I'm preaching to myself today as well. We're all sinners. We can only be saved when we come to Jesus. And then, this is the good news, we receive God's Holy Spirit, which empowers us to repent from our sin. The word is metanoia, a changing of our thinking. The old is gone, the new has come. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? And even though we're tempted to sin, and we will still sin, none of us are perfect. We are washed, except for Cecily. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. Our sins are washed away. Amen? We're tempted to sin, but the Holy Spirit will always lead us out. The Holy Spirit will always show us a way when we're tempted to sin. And I believe, and Pastor Glenn, I'm calling him Pastor Glenn as well. I'm calling everyone Pastor. And Glenn was talking about it, that God is coming back for a pure bride. He's coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. And I believe in these last days, this move of God, this revival that's happening, not just here, all over the world, is part of a purifying move of God. Where we're not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and we repent from our sin. When you exhibit kindness and compassion for others, when you used to be self-centered, there's that word compassion again. There you go. That is being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. When you show love for people that you used to despise, that is a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. All these actions can confirm your maturity in Christ and that you are His disciple. Earlier this year, I felt God speak to me about doing this series called Going Deeper. And it's not just about going deeper in prayer, deeper in worship, deeper in, you know, hearing from God, deep, you know, but about going deeper in our maturity in following Jesus. And Barry and I were just talking about this morning, one of our elders, he said, you know, these guys here were just saying that they've just joined a church 6 weeks ago, Church One at the Gold Coast, great church, Pastor Ted, my good friend. And he said they love it because they're a church that does stuff. And Barry said, well, you're obviously mature Christians, because you are looking for a place where you could do stuff for God, not just go and receive from God. Difference between an immature Christian and a mature Christian. An immature Christian is, it's all about me, me, me. I want the right songs. I want the right food, the right sermon, the right comfy chairs, the right air conditioning. It's got to have the perfect building. It's got to be, oh, you know. That's what you look for if you're immature as a Christian. If you're a mature believer, you go somewhere to do something for God. You go somewhere where you can use your gifts for God. You go somewhere where you can bear fruit. Now, some of you mightn't be there yet. You might be a new believer. You might be a visitor here today. That's cool. We're all on our journey. And I feel God speaking to me as well. That my call is far greater than where I'm at right now. I believe I'm called to be part of this church. I'm called to lead this church. But I also believe God's wanting to raise up a team that's going to go and do ministry all around this nation. Trips here and there. I've started talking to people about doing a North Queensland trip later this year, taking a team up there, speaking in schools, going on the streets, doing street evangelism, doing combined church services, partnering with Vision Radio and doing interviews. You know, I believe that's part of, you know, but you know what? That's a lot of work. I could easily just come here every week and be nice and comfortable in my beautiful church, which I love doing. I could do this every day. I love this church. But God is nudging me and saying, you've got to take teams. You've got to do the apostolic work that I've called you to. You've got to plant churches. We're looking at planting at something down at Waterford, something up at Burpengary. There's a price to pay for that. But God says He wants to stretch out our tent pegs. If we're going deeper with God, we'll do the stuff God's told us to do. Amen. Who wants to do the stuff God's called them to do? That's what it means to go deeper with the call of God, because your actions speak louder than your words. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you'll become like Jesus. The more obedient you'll be to Him. You know, I've been reading this book called Emotionally Healthy Leader. And it's by a guy named Pete Scazzaro. I've mentioned it a few times. Pete Scazzaro pastors a large church in the Bronx with over 70 nationalities in his church. And he said that he was an emotionally immature pastor for 17 years. He didn't really communicate with his wife very well and his kids very well. He preached great. He did all sorts of amazing things in ministry, but he never really dealt with his stuff. He had anger issues. He had a wall up all the time when he talked to people, and he just didn't let God deal with his stuff until his wife said, "I'm quitting. I'm sick of you being such a shallow showman. You're one person at church, but you're another person at home. You're a hypocrite. I'm leaving your church." How many of you know that's a wake-up call for a pastor to hear that? Because, you know, James Dobson says, if you're a Christian at church, but you're not a Christian in your home, that's the greatest reason why your kids will backslide and fall away from God. Because your kids are smart. They can watch you. If you're one person at church and one person at home, you're a fake. You're a hypocrite. Your kids won't follow Jesus. All the research points to it. And that scares the bagoolies out of me as a pastor, as a father, as a husband. And so I want to make sure what I am here at this church is what I am in my home. And I believe that's what happened during COVID. We had to shut down for several weeks. We had to have church in our homes because God wanted to rebuild the altars in our homes. When that started, I started doing daily devotions with my wife and kids, and we still do it to this day. We read God's word around the breakfast table. We pray together. We worship together. We take communion in our home sometimes as well. If you're not doing it in the home, what's the point of doing it here? The Bible's very clear on that. You can't be a shepherd of God's people if you're not shepherding in your own home, amen? And that's what this guy talks about in this book. And he talks about being in union with Jesus, basically having a relationship with Jesus. He says, so this is what a loving union with Jesus is. The theologian Hans Balthasar described Jesus as a man who was sinless because he had lovingly allowed the Father's will to have full scope in his life. Just think about that. Jesus lovingly allowed God to have full access to his house, to his life. Last Wednesday night, the Lord reminded me of a prophetic vision that he gave me years ago of a house. And he said, this is what New Hope is like. You've invited Jesus into the lounge room and into the kitchen, but you haven't invited him into any other area of your house. Your bedroom, the attic, the cellar, the other rooms. And God was saying, I want to fill the whole house completely. And I believe this is a word for us right now and what God's doing in our church. He wants to fill us completely with his Holy Spirit. In every relationship, in our finances, in our work life, in every area that we are filled, that we are having loving union with Jesus. This is what this theologian said. He said, we need to lovingly allow God to have full access to our life. In Revelation 3:20, it says, here am I. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In loving union, we keep the door wide open all the time. We allow the will of God to have full access to every area of our lives. We need to cultivate this kind of relationship with God, and it can't be hurried or rushed. We must slow down and build into our lives a structure and rhythm that make this kind of loving surrender routinely possible. The question we must wrestle with is, in what ways does my current pace of life enhance or diminish my ability to allow God's will and presence full scope in my life? Any spiritual practices we may choose then becomes a mean to an end, not the end themselves. But make no mistake, remaining surrendered while navigating the intense pressures and demands of leadership is no small task. Jesus faced overwhelming pressures in life, pressures that far outstrip anything most of us will ever face. Yet Jesus slowed down to be with the Father. He made sure he was in sync with God. He was in the Father and the Father was in him, powerfully filling every crevice of his body, mind and spirit. In routinely stepping away from his active work, he entrusted the outcome of his circumstances and his problems and ministry to the Father. And as a result, every action Jesus took was rooted in a place of deep rest and settledness out of relationship with God. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. The Greek verb translated as the word remain can also be translated as to abide, to continue with, to stick with, and to make one's home with. It captures the non-negotiable requirement of what it means to follow Jesus in loving union. He promises if we do this, fruit will follow. However, when we refuse to slow down for loving union with Jesus, the consequences can be significant and long-lasting, rippling out from us and impacting those we lead and beyond. Jesus says, "Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit." You won't just talk the talk, you'll walk the walk. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Who wants to bear much fruit? Abide. Let him come into every room in your house. Every part of your life, surrender it all. Jesus said, "Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me." What does it mean to take up a cross? Die to yourself. Die to your agenda, your selfish ways. Die to your own greed, your own sins, your own struggles. Cast all your idols before him and die to yourself and live for Jesus. Friends, I believe that's what God is saying to us in this time. And when we die to ourselves, our actions will speak louder than our words. Let me just share one quick example. Really challenged me, this one. Anybody here get busy? Yeah? You got, you know, wife and kids. You got bills to pay. You got a job. You got, you know, all sorts of things you're doing in your life, renovations in your house, or you got, you know, you got stuff, you know. I get caught in the busy trap regularly. Sometimes at the end of the day, I'll sit down and I'll feel convicted that I didn't slow down to be with Jesus enough. I always start my day in God's word, in prayer and worship, seeking the Lord, praying over my family. I always start the day like that. But sometimes that's it, and then the rest of the day, I forget to pray to Jesus. I forget to listen to him. I forget to take my time with him. Here's two examples. Imagine a lady named Ruth. She is an executive director of an international nonprofit. She's taken a pay cut from her corporate job to work in a charity. So she's only earning a third as much as what she used to earn in the world. Her non-loving union response is this. During her train ride to work, she'll read a page from a free devotional and she'll feel confident she's begun a day with God. She doesn't think much more about God during the day unless there's a problem that comes up. In fact, all her waking thoughts are about work, work, work. Her attitude is, if I don't put my whole life into this, I'm not giving God my best for God's work. She also worries about the ministry's finances and what could happen if it fails to thrive and grow. She wants to gain the approval of her boss and the ministry board, and it's always on her mind. For Ruth, any failure in ministry is a personal failure. She's hired the best people with the right skills to serve on a team and doesn't ask questions about their personal lives. The focus of Ruth's work is to add more projects, grow the budget, and expand the work. Now, that sounds like she's doing an okay job, doesn't it? But she's doing it without Jesus. Here is the loving union response. Here's how we're meant to spend our days. During a train ride to work, Ruth spends time praying, reading, reflecting on Scripture, journaling, writing down what God's saying to her. She endeavors to maintain a sense of connection to God throughout the whole day, listening to him, inviting him into her efforts, and to build his ministry, not her own. Come on, someone say amen to that. She feels light and free, even though she's only earning a third the amount of money she used to earn. She doesn't focus on the money because she knows God is her provider. Ruth works hard, but sets a boundary around evenings and weekends so she has time to rest and create a larger life in God. She practices Sabbath. Every Monday, she has the day off to be with God and to rest, and intentionally cultivates her relationships with friends, family, and a few spiritual companions. While she loves her role as the executive director, she feels she could walk away from it any time because her identity isn't found in her job, but in Jesus as a daughter of the Most High God. Why? She will tell you, I know that I'm beautiful. I know that I'm lovable. I know that I'm loved by God and others. She doesn't feel pressure to get things done quickly all the time. In fact, when she feels overloaded, she says to her boss, I need a break. I need to have a rest. She invites God to help her discern what to do in light of her personal limits, and she wants to live an emotionally healthy life. In the past, she might have developed a marketing plan and prayed, God, bless this plan that I've come up with. Now, she says, Lord, what is the best way that I can serve you this day with my limited time and resources? She's profoundly aware that all her actions affect all the people who report to her, and she's prayerful in every meeting she's in. She's careful not to rush through them. What's important to her is not what she wants, but what God wants for her team. She sees her staff as people with feelings and concerns, not a means to an end. Her mentoring of them goes beyond skills to do their jobs. It includes expressing her interest in their personal lives. She works on her own emotional and spiritual issues, fully aware that perhaps more than anything else, it is her own transformation that will affect the team the most. Now, I know that took a little bit of time, but do you understand the difference between the two? You can spend your day doing things for God and not being with Him at all. Our being with God is more important than our doing for God. Now you say, hang on, Pastor Matt, you're preaching about how actions speak louder than words. You're telling us we need to do stuff for God. I am. But I'm not saying do stuff for God at the expense of being with God. Being with God is the most important thing. This week, my son Josh, we're praying on the way to school, and he's got such a beautiful heart, my little man. He said, Dad, I just don't know if I'm really a Christian. I just don't know if God really hears my prayers. I try to worship and I try to feel God's presence, but I just don't know if I really feel it, you know. And I love the fact that he's asking that question. Because I remember as a 16-year-old kid asking that question. And he said, Dad, you know that Bible verse in Matthew 7:21? It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He said, Dad, you know that verse? I'm worried that I might be one of those guys that doesn't actually know Jesus, that Jesus doesn't actually know me. And I said, Josh, the fact that you've asked me that question and that you're aware of that and you're concerned about that brings joy to my heart. Because it means you're on the right path. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He ain't going to be getting a free ticket into heaven because his dad's Pastor Matt. There's no grandchildren in heaven, only children of the Most High God. Our doing for God is great. Keep doing it. Your actions speak louder than words. Keep doing it. Do that stuff that God's called you to do. Do it with all your heart. Do it with everything you got until Jesus comes back. But don't do it without being with God. Don't rush it. Don't be carnal and fleshly and worldly in the way you live. Die to your flesh. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Baptized means fully immersed. Be filled completely with the Holy Spirit. so that no matter what comes against you, you'll stand strong so that you can achieve what God's called you to do. But make sure you're being with God. Invite Him into every decision you do, everything you do, everywhere you go. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and lead you. May your being with God be way more important than you're doing for God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word which always convicts us, your word which challenges us. We don't just want to be like someone that looks in a mirror and looks away and forgets what they saw. We want to be hearers of your word and doers of your word. Lord, the most important thing is that you know us and that we know you. Our relationship with you is more important than anything on this planet. And Lord, I pray that everyone here in this place will get a revelation of what it means to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Not just at the start of every day, but every hour, every day, all day, every day, that we can be with you, we can worship you, we can hear your voice, we can speak your word, we can read your word, we can study your word, we can share your word. In all our relationships, in every part of our life, we want to be fully devoted to you, Lord Jesus. I just feel, just with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just feel to challenge you. Some of you here think, you know what, Pastor Matt talked about sin before. I've got sins that I just can't stop doing. I've got habitual sins that I can't get set free from. And I just feel to say to you, this is the key to overcoming your sin. Just fall in love with Jesus. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you want to put Him first in your life. And the less you want to sin. Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, used to put it like this. You love the things God loves and you hate the things God hates. You hate those sins because you know they don't honor God. And if you love Jesus, your love for Him will be more powerful than any temptation that comes your way. And you'll be able to repent from your sin because you love Jesus so much. Friends, I just want to encourage you today to love Jesus with all of your heart. Be in loving union with Jesus all day, every day. With every eye closed and every head bowed, in just a moment we're going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. I prayed this prayer when I was 15 years old, and it's like a burden lifted off me. Everything changed. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. In just a moment, we're going to pray that prayer where you can receive Jesus. If you want to pray that with me today and give your life to Jesus and have your sins forgiven, with every eye closed, if you want to pray that with me, I just want you to slip your hand up real high. I see that brother, that's great. Anybody else? I see that brother, I see that sister, that's awesome. Anybody else? You want to come to Jesus today and have your sins forgiven. This is between you and God. Is there anybody else today? Just slip your hand up high so I can see it. You want to come to Jesus and have your sins washed away. Anybody else? Good on you, brother. I see that. That's awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's stand to our feet and give these guys a hand that prayed that today.